Sisters. Stand now. One, two, three. One, two, three. Good. Three sisters. One. And then how about you two sisters at the back? How about we have the six of you this morning pray for the meeting? We'll start by opening up.
Amen.
Opening to the Lord.
Amen.
And as they pray, what do we say?
Amen.
Amen. So how about we start over here and we'll just work our way around. And we'll go. Go ahead.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we can meet just to pray and sing for you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we are so fortunate to be here and we can all be together, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you for the sixth grade conference.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing us all here this weekend.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for dying for us.
Amen.
Thank you for saving us.
Amen.
Thank you that we have your life.
Amen.
This morning, Lord, we want to see how we can be transferred out of Satan's kingdom and into yours.
Amen.
This morning, Lord, we want to see that we can confess you to our friends.
Amen.
This morning, Lord, we want to see that the church life is our church life.
Amen.
Lord, for the rest of our life, keep us in the center of the church life.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, how about this morning we start by going back to message one and just reading the title of message one. So let's go back. I know it seems like a long time ago, but let's go back to page 5 and let's read the title of message 1.
Amen.
Ready? Go.
Where are you? Hiding from God.
And on Friday night, we saw that we are hiding from God. But can anyone hide from God?
No.
Right? We found that no one, no matter where you are, what you think you're doing in secret, no one can hide from God. How about let's turn to the second title, on page 11. Let's read that title. Ready? Go.
Where are you, dead in sin?
Is there one person on this earth who is righteous?
No.
Is there one person on this earth who is not a sinner?
No.
Even as it is written, there is none righteous. None righteous. Hands up if you memorize that verse. Very good. Very good. There is none righteous. But we also found out that because there is none righteous, we are all under the judgment of God.
Amen.
But hallelujah, we found out that there is a way out.
Amen.
Or rather, there is a person who came in our place. Right? This person came and he saved us.
Amen.
He saved us from the judgment of God.
Amen.
So we had the experience yesterday morning, the wonderful experience. Many of you, for the first time, received this Savior as your life.
Amen.
And yesterday, you had the experience, many of you, for the first time, of being saved from the judgment of God.
Amen.
And this is one thing that can never be undone.
Amen.
Once you have been saved from the judgment of God, you are always saved from the judgment of God.
Amen.
Yesterday, the experience that you had between you and the Lord, that is from now, that point unto eternity, you can look at that point and say, that is when I was saved. Amen. That is when I was saved from the judgment of God. Amen. And then let's turn to the third outline. And let's read that title. Ready? Are you without hope in the world? And last night we had a wonderful message seeing what else we are saved from. We're also saved from the world. Amen. The system, that evil surgeon. You remember Brother Peter up here? Right? And Brother Craig? The surgeon wants to operate on you. He's put you under those drugs. He's drugged you. He's drugged the entire world. And he's just waiting there with his scalpel to pick and do something evil. Evil to you. But we've been saved from the world. Amen. Before we received the Lord as our Savior, we were without hope in the world. Right. What a terrible condition. Yeah. To be without hope in the world. Yeah. You know, people who have no hope are some of the saddest people that are living today. If you don't have hope, you have nothing to live for. And there's nothing for you to look forward to ever because you don't have hope. But now we have a hope.
Amen.
We've been given hope.
Amen.
Yesterday, when you received the Lord as your Savior, you were given a hope.
Amen.
You were given a reason to live.
Amen.
So now this morning, we come to the title of this message. How about we read this morning's title all together on page 28. Ready, go.
Where are you in the kingdom of God, the church?
Oh, isn't that so much better? Let's read that one more time. Go.
Where are you in the kingdom of God,
the church? Oh, that's just such a refreshing title to read. Now, this morning, though, I would like to start out by asking you just a question that you can think about, okay? What does it mean to be saved? Right? Yesterday, we found that we were saved. Number one, we were saved from the judgment of God. And yesterday evening, we found out that we were also saved from the world. Now this morning, I'd like to tell you that there's two sides of your being saved. Okay? You, yesterday, when you received the Lord, you were saved from the second death. You remember when Brother Craig mentioned the second death, the lake of fire. You were saved from the lake of fire.
Amen.
So there's no need for you ever to worry about you going to the lake of fire. Ever. So, there's another side, though, of your being saved. And it was mentioned last night about being saved from the world. How about we read together Colossians 1, 12, and 13. Ready? Go.
Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
This morning we are going to find out that our salvation actually is a complete step. And this weekend, between this weekend and the next couple of weeks, you will complete that step of your salvation. Your salvation is like one giant step. Now, if you look at my step here, have I completed my step? Still kind of in limbo, right? I might lose my balance. This foot needs to come forward and complete the step. What you did yesterday in your receiving the Lord was you stepped out of the world with one foot. But until something happens, this foot is still hanging back. And what needs to happen is you need to be baptized.
Amen.
You need to be baptized. And here's the significance of your baptism. All weekend, something has been going on within you, inside your heart. There's been a stirring. Maybe the Lord's been speaking, maybe he's been seeking. You know, the very first night, the questions, the discussions, I really liked the first one where it talked about that door, right? Remember that door? Where the Lord is knocking on one side, but the handle is only on our side. Maybe when you read that, there was some stirring within you. And then yesterday morning and yesterday evening, as you were listening, as the Lord was speaking, maybe there was something going on within you. What was going on within you was something that is hidden. It is a transaction that is so real, that only at this point, only God and Satan and the evil angels know about it. Because it is something that is inside of you. It is something that occurred inside of you. So what we need to do is we need to make a stand.
Amen.
We need to take a stand to show God, Satan, all of the evil angels, all of the demons, the saints in the church, your friends, your family, that you have been saved.
Amen.
If it just stays within you, that foot is still back there. What needs to happen is there's an invisible line. And you need to bring your entire being. You need to make that step into the kingdom of God. Let's read Mark 16, 16 together. Ready? Go.
He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned.
Do you notice that it says, he who believes and is what?
Baptized.
Shall be saved. And we have to realize this. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But does that mean that if you're not baptized, you're not saved? So it says, it keeps going. He who does not believe shall be condemned. So if you don't have the believing, you will still be in the lake of fire. But if you believe and are baptized, you are transferred into the kingdom of God.
Amen?
Amen? I'd like to read you a verse. It's not in your verses, but I'd like to read to you John 10:28. And I give to them eternal life.
Amen.
And they shall by no means perish forever. So you've received the eternal life of God. But what needs to take place is we need to have that step. Now, one reason why we need to take a step, and I mentioned a little bit, is that we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand. And more and more these days, it seems like young people have more and more difficult time taking a stand. The tide of this age is so strong. You're bombarded with things that you're told you have to have, clothes you need to wear, games you have to play, sports teams you have to follow, TV shows you need to watch, and you feel like you need to do these things. And what we need today is we need legs to stand. You know, in the Song of Songs, which is a book in the Old Testament, when the Lord is describing the one who he loves, One of the ways that he describes her is he describes her with rounded thighs. Now, especially the sisters don't like to be described with rounded thighs, right? But the way that he is describing his love is he's describing those thighs as thighs that can stand.
Amen.
And that can stand for who she loves.
Amen.
This weekend, haven't you been impressed by how much the Lord loved you? This weekend, as Brother Craig was speaking about the hands being nailed to the cross and the nails being borne in, pounded in, and as the nails go in, what covers the nails is the blood. Oh, I was so touched again. Lord, you died for me.
Amen.
And the least we can do, the least we can do is to stand for the one that we love.
Amen.
And the first step in our standing for the one that we love is to say to the world, is to say to the enemy, is to say to all the evil angels and the demons, and to declare to the church that I am for the Lord.
Amen.
No, no. No, no, no. I'll never go back anymore.
Amen.
This weekend, I believe each one of you sixth graders has seen something this weekend that you cannot deny. This weekend, you've seen something that has made you love the Lord more.
Amen,
amen or amen?
Amen.
Sixth graders, if you love the Lord more after this weekend, say amen.
Amen.
So if you love the Lord more, the least we can do is stand for the Lord. And the beginning of our standing with the Lord is our taking that first step to be baptized.
Amen.
To be baptized is not just something that we do. It is not your entrance into the church, quote unquote. To be baptized is the outward reality of what happened to you this weekend.
Amen.
Inside this weekend, you don't know it, but inside, inwardly, you were baptized.
Amen.
What happened was the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, God as the Spirit, came into you and mingled with your human spirits.
Amen.
Now your human spirit is joined to the human to the Holy Spirit, and that spirit is a mingled spirit. That is what is going on. And that is why you are enjoying your singing. That is why for you to say, every time now you say amen, there's a little fluttering inside. Amen.
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 Amen. But if that just stays inside and there's no outward testimony, there's a danger that the foot stays behind. And for us to fully enter into the kingdom of God, we need to make this step into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the way we make that step is in our baptism.
Amen.
So within the next few weeks, each of you is going to be baptized.
Amen.
How many of you want to be baptized?
Amen.
Be fully transferred.
Amen.
Out of the kingdom of Satan and into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
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 It is so encouraging to see your hands go up. Now, before you get baptized, I'd like you to think about this. You are getting baptized, and you are going to be fully transferred as you come up out of the water. That is your entrance into the kingdom of God. But before you go down, I want you to think about this. You are going to have an opportunity to say something. And start to think right now, what is it that you are going to declare to the enemy? What are you going to declare to God? And what are you going to declare to the saints as an outward declaration that you are leaving everything behind? Satan, I am not in your kingdom anymore.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into your kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you that I'm part of the church. These are things that we can declare. And when we declare them with our mouth, it is not just the saints who hear. God hears.
Amen.
And you know who else hears? His enemy.
Amen.
And it makes him so mad to see another one leave his kingdom and come into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And we love to see Satan defeated a little bit more.
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
Very good. So, my time is up, but Brother Peter has some more things that he'd like to add to this matter of baptism. And he has some very, very good things for us in our continuation in our Christian life. Because our salvation and our baptism is just the first step. And there are many more steps to come in our Christian life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
No, 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 I'll never go back anymore. No, no, I'll never go back anymore.
No, 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 I'll never go back.
No,
no, no, no, no, I'll never go back.
How about the brothers? Where are you, brothers?
No.
Okay, let's all read the title of message 4. The title of message 4 altogether. Where are you in the kingdom of God, the church? One more time.
Where are you in the kingdom of God, the church?
Now, Roman numeral 1, go. By believing and being baptized, we are delivered. Satan's kingdom, which is the ark today. Let's read Colossians 1, 12, and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion, saints in the light, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness
and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Acts 2:38-40. Amen. Okay, and then Mark 16:16.
He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned.
I appreciated that word very much, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But then it says, he who does not believe shall be condemned. This word condemned is a word that we don't have to worry about anymore. Because all of us here this weekend have believed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Once you believe with your heart, you are saved.
Amen.
We called on his name, we believed in our heart, we are saved from the lake of fire.
Amen.
That will never be our portion.
Amen.
Right? Nothing can snatch us out of our Father's hand. But it starts off by saying, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So it begs the question, what does it really mean to be saved? And according to this verse, is being saved the same thing as not being condemned? Evidently not, because the requirement of being saved is two things. Believing and being baptized.
Amen.
The requirement of not being condemned is just the believing. When the Lord was there on the cross, dying for our sins, He was not alone there. He was being crucified with two others. They deserved to be on the cross. The Lord did not. One of them, who deserved the penalty of death, he repented right there at his last moments of life. While he was expiring, while he was dying, praise the Lord, he was dying next to the Savior. Wow. He was there and he realized who this one who was being mocked is. He realized this one is really the Son of God. And right there on the cross, that criminal, he believed. And he got saved from condemnation. Praise the Lord. The Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise. The other one had a hard heart and did not believe. And at the end of that day, he was not in paradise. He was in another part, an unpleasant part. So that one who was on the cross, he only had time to believe. They couldn't take him down and baptize him. Yet, the Lord told him, you're saved. You will be with me in paradise. So the requirement of escaping condemnation is simply to believe. We should never believe anyone who says you need to be baptized to be saved from hell. No! This is not according to the truth. According to the truth, we are saved from the lake of fire simply by faith, by believing. Amen?
Amen.
So what does Mark 16:16 mean when it says, believe and be baptized? I'm sorry. He who believed and is baptized shall be saved. What is this word, saved? Well, we should use the Bible to explain the Bible. Right? Doesn't that sound good?
Amen.
We're not here just presenting imagination or something that seems right. We would like to explain the Bible with the Bible. So I want you to open up to Acts 2. Okay? Acts 2. And I want the sisters. I love to call you sisters. Do you know why I can call you sisters? Because we now have the same Father.
Amen.
You brothers. Amen. All you boys. We started off by saying boys, verse 1, right? Boys, sing verse 1. Girls, sing verse 2. We're not calling you boys and girls anymore. You are our sisters. You are our brothers. Because we have the same Father.
Amen.
My daddy is your daddy.
Amen.
The life that I have is the life that you have.
Amen.
The Lord is not ashamed to call you brothers. And we are not ashamed to call you brothers.
Amen.
Sisters. Notice we're not saying junior brothers. Junior sisters. Brothers in training. Brothers to be. You are a card-carrying, full-member brother,
amen.
Sister.
Amen.
So let's have the sisters stand and read verse 37. And all the brothers will read verse 38, sisters 39, and altogether 40. Sisters, go. Standing.
And when they heard this,
okay, brothers, what should we do?
And Peter said to them, repent, and each one of you be baptized upon the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Sisters, 39.
For to you
together 40?
And with many other words, he solemnly testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation.
Be saved from what? See, there's something else we need to be saved from than just the lake of fire. When we believed, we were saved from the lake of fire, but there's something else. We need, according to this verse, to be saved from something else. What is this? This crooked. That means twisted, not straight, warped generation. There is something called a crooked generation. And that is something we need to be saved from. So then the question is, how do we get saved from the crooked generation? I will read the next verse. Then those who received his word were baptized. How do you get saved from the crooked generation? Baptism. Those who receive this word this morning, next Lord's Day, will be baptized. Amen. Baptized. Baptism is how we are saved from this crooked generation. Amen. We are saved through water. Let's read letter A all together. Believing on the positive side for receiving God's life. And the verse?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life.
Do you see it? Right? Now it's becoming more clear. It says everyone who believes. No mention of baptism here. Everyone who believes into him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Believing is the requirement for us to have eternal life. Believing alone is the requirement for us to be saved from hell. Amen. But there's more. Letter B, all together.
Baptism on the negative side delivers us out of the world.
1 Peter 3:20 and 21. Go.
Who had formerly disobeyed when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, entering into which a few, that is, eight souls, were brought safely through by water, which water, as it ends upright, also now saves you, that is, baptism, not
tell you, the whole scene at Noah's time is very impressive. Here you have man, like we saw in message one, created like a glove to receive the wonderful content of the hand. You fill that glove with video games, alcohol, all kinds of things, it is not satisfying. It is not satisfying. It just needs more. Filling it with money, filling it with popularity, filling it with the most beautiful hair in your whole junior high school. I have no chance of filling my glove with the most beautiful hair in my school. Filling it with the best three-pointer, the best three-point shot in your seventh grade class next year, will not satisfy that glove. That glove was made to contain a hand, and it was made to contain a hand in order to fulfill a purpose. But in the days of Noah, everybody was filled with other things. Other things. And everybody, the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. That means things had fallen to such an extent that man was incapable of a righteous thought. It was just evil all the time. They woke up in the morning, evil thoughts filled their mind. They went throughout the day, evil thoughts, evil actions. They went to sleep at night, thinking things contrary to God. The whole generation was like this. As a result, the earth was filled with violence. I'd like to say just a little bit about this matter of violence. It is really true that the age we are in now, just like the days of Noah, is a violent age. So violent. So violent that perhaps we may become numb to all the violence. We don't even recognize it. One time I was painting a big room, and I was using a sprayer that puts out a lot of paint. And I had sealed off the whole room so that no paint would escape from that room and get on the walls of the other rooms in the house, which I did not want to be painted, because that was not my house. So I sealed off the whole room, and I was in there painting this room. But what I didn't know, because it happened slowly, was that room was being filled not only with paint that I could see, but with paint fumes that I could not see. And it happened so slowly that I didn't become aware of it. And after about 3 hours of painting, those of you who have had this experience just went, oh, wow. After about 3 hours of painting, the owners of the house came home, undid the masking tape that sealed off the rest of the house, walked into the room where I was, and nearly passed out. Whoa, they said. How could you stay in here? And I looked at them like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? They immediately went over, opened all the windows, opened all the doors, and as the fresh air began to flow in, oh, I began to realize I have been in a gas chamber. And I did not know it. They took me out of that room. They sat me down in the living room. And my head began to spin because I was finally in fresh air. And I was beginning to be cleansed from all of that stuff. I believe our situation, not just your situation, but our situation, is the same way. We're in an environment that is so violent, we don't even realize how violent it really is. When I was a kid, we had video games. Well, when I was a teenager, we had video games. Okay, not when I was a kid. We didn't really have them that much. We had this great game called Pong. Have you heard of this? I think this was the first game. It was cutting edge. I don't have time to tell you about it. Then Pong advanced, and Atari came out. Pong just had a little wheel that you could turn, and that controlled this paddle, you know. You could play tennis and something else. Then Atari came out with a joystick. Yeah! It was called a joystick, you know, because it filled you with joy. And so we were playing this game. And then this game came out, you know, Atari had cartridges that you can stick in, these big things. And one of the games was called Combat. Now, I don't know if sisters like combat that much, but brothers, we just like combat, you know. So we played Combat, me and my four brothers. And whenever you shot something, this is what happened in combat, right? You would shoot it. Bing, and your bullet would beep, beep, boop, 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 go over, and it would hit this thing, and the thing would go like this. Remember that, William? And that was awesome. Man, the graphics on that thing. It's incredible. You know, just... Okay. Fast forward it. Number of years. I'm in the full-time training. And I'm going to visit a high schooler. And I go into his room. Into his house. And they're playing video games. And I'm thinking, no problem. I know video games. Pong. Combat. Atari. And I look at the screen, and my goodness, it was like I was watching a movie. I was watching so realistic. And these guys, brothers, dear brothers, were shooting at things, and they weren't dissolving. They weren't just anymore. They were shooting at people. And they would shoot off, you know, the arm and this. It's so graphic. So graphic. Shooting them to pieces. And they got more points the more violent it was. And the more they caused that person to suffer. So they intentionally... These are brothers in the Lord's recovery. They intentionally wanted to inflict as much pain on that one and cause him to get killed in the most violent way to get extra points and clear the level. Well, and then, okay, so we say, well, what's wrong with that? It's only a game, right? What's wrong with that? It's only a game. What's wrong with that? It's only a picture. It's just, it's not a real person. Lighten up. Lighten up. If I had my wife right here, and one of you guys did anything to harm her, I'm going to give you a warning right now. This is how it works, okay? You harm my wife, I harm you. That's just how it goes. I will not tolerate that. I will not tolerate that. Now, what if, instead of my wife, I showed you a picture of my wife? Right? Here is... a picture of my wife. You say, Brother Peter, are you married? I say, I have the best wife in the world. Here she is, right here. Here's a picture of her. What if he were to take that apart, piece by piece? Arm, then the other arm, and he's laughing while it's happening. Would I be laughing? You think I'm going to be laughing? No. I would not accept that. I won't tell you what I would do. I would not accept that. According to Ephesians 5, the church, which is us, made in God's image, man made in God's image, is the wife, the bride of Christ. Blowing away even a picture of God's wife is a serious thing. We don't even know. We don't even know. It's so violent. We just play those games without any realization of what is really happening. Are you listening? This is just a little window of the crooked generation. It's crooked in every way. It's against God. And we need to be saved from it. Let's read Roman numeral 2. The significance of baptism. Okay. Before we continue with that, I would like to use this up here, and I would like to put up the word salvation. Okay? Now, on this side, put the name Egypt. And over here, wilderness. The children of Israel, one day, were not in Egypt. They were living their life, and they were fine. But then there was a famine, and they went down into Egypt in order to get food, because there was no food anywhere else. So it's like the example. We may have to walk into the river a little bit, because we have to work. We have to be at school, right? We are not taken out of that situation. We are in the midst of that, but we're shining as luminaries. Amen. But in the midst of that world, you need to be so careful. They were there in Egypt just to get a living, just for food. Then there's a verse that says, but then a new Pharaoh, a new king came into power that did not know and was not favorable for the children of Israel. And that new king, typifying Satan, enslaved all of the children of Israel. So now, in Egypt, what do you got? Right? You've got food. Okay? Then you have, eventually, slavery. These are God's people now enslaved to Satan in Egypt. Then, eventually, God comes in and judges the entire situation, and so you have judgment. Okay? This world is going to be judged, and God is waiting only. His wrath is being held back only until the ark, which typifies the church, is built, and then that wrath will come. It's not a matter of if, it's when. You need to know this world is condemned. Don't waste your life on it. Don't waste a moment on it. It is condemned. Then, here, I will put salvation. First step. Okay. So, they went there in Egypt. They're there in school. They're there in their school, in their situation, because they need it. They need the food. But something happened, and they got enslaved. Okay? The whole thing got judged. And right down here, I'm going to put death. Eventually, God came in with 10 plagues and thoroughly exposed the situation in Egypt. Everything was exposed to be contrary to God and just resulting in death. The first thing that happened was the Nile River, the supply for the whole city, turned into blood, showing the world begins with death. All it gives you, even from the start, is just death. The last one was the angel of death came over, and the firstborn from every house died. The world begins and ends with death. That's the world. And everything in between is more of the same. How to get saved from this? How to get saved from this and enjoy the salvation? You needed to go into your house, but first you needed to sprinkle the blood of a lamb over the posts of the house, go into that house, and then eat that lamb. Get that lamb inside of you. John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's Christ who takes away the sin of the world. That lamb had to be eaten by those ones in that house. This weekend, I believe all of us have eaten the lamb. Amen. Has Christ got inside of you?
Yes.
You have eaten the lamb. But do you know why you've eaten that lamb? That lamb empowered the children of Israel to get out of Egypt.
Amen.
That lamb was the very power to get them up and walking out of there.
Amen.
And so they were told, you eat that lamb. You eat that lamb with your walking staff in your hand, with your walking shoes on your feet, with your loins girded about, ready to march out of here. That's how they ate that lamb. Not staying in Egypt. They ate that lamb with the full view. We are not only going to be saved by the blood on the post from the angel of death. We're not only going to be saved from death, but we're going to get out of Egypt. We're going to get out of the slavery. We're going to leave this place. And listen, we're going to leave this place with our women, with our children, with our ox, everybody. Everything is getting out of here. We don't belong in Egypt. If you only take one step, praise the Lord, you are saved from the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Amen. But you wake up the next morning and you're still in slavery in Egypt. You see this? We have to take that next step. It means a lot.
Amen.
How did they get saved from Egypt? They walked out, but they didn't just go straight here. There was a body of water called the Red Sea. Remember that? They had to go through the water. They had to pass through the water.
Amen.
That's the water of baptism.
Amen.
All of us have to pass through the water.
Amen.
When we pass through the water, something happens. This is what happens. We all go through. We go through on dry land.
Amen.
And let me warn you. Let me warn you. Satan may not have cared for you that much up until right now. But now he's afraid. Now he knows I'm about to lose you. He will let you be saved as long as you stay in Egypt. He will even let you receive the Lord as long as you don't leave Egypt. But once it's in your heart to have a full transfer, to take that complete step of two parts, then Satan begins to pursue. Pharaoh and all of his armies pursued after the children of Israel to get them and not let them go. So all the children of Israel passed through on dry land and got on the other side.
Amen.
Satan and his armies pursued in. While they were in the midst, the water closed up and killed them all. Ended them all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We go in, and we carry so much with us. Satan and his hosts follow us. The power, the influence of the world goes in as well. The difference is we come out on the other side and they stay in.
Amen.
Next week in your localities, when you get baptized, you go in there with the world on your back, and when you come out of that water, Satan and the world stays in there.
Amen.
You may still have the longings for some things of the world, but you need to know you have been freed from that.
Amen.
There has been a separation. It's not a putting off of the flesh, of the filth of the flesh. We'll still have that. We'll have that our whole life. But something happens in our baptism that is so real. This whole influence, this whole situation has been cut off. And now you are on the other side in the wilderness, worshiping him. Okay, let's read letter A, under Roman numeral 2. Go. I have died to the world.
And risen with Christ.
Romans 6. Or are you ignorant?
Been baptized into his death.
We have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life.
Hallelujah. When we're baptized, we are buried with him.
Amen.
Galatians 2 says that we have been crucified with Christ. How long ago was he crucified? 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you guys. You guys have been dead for 2,000 years. You stink. You guys are good for nothing but burial right now. I tell you, don't wait any longer than you have to. Get yourself into that tomb.
Amen.
You can't bury yourself. You need the brothers to put you in that tomb.
Amen.
Bury yourself. And then when you raise up, you raise in resurrection with Christ.
Amen.
Okay, letter B. I have been
baptized into the triune God.
Matthew, go.
Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father,
are baptized into the triune God. See, I am
now in Christ.
For as many as were baptized into Christ
have put on Christ.
So when we are baptized into him, we put him on like a jacket. We get into that water, we come out, we're wearing a new coat.
Amen.
We have Christ. Baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Oh, I love baptism. Go. D.
I am now in the body of Christ, the church.
1 Corinthians.
For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one spirit.
Amen. Into the body of Christ. Okay, Roman numeral 3. That's all the time that we have to talk about that. Baptism, though, is a big thing. When you get baptized, so much happens. And you may not be aware of everything. You will not be aware of everything. And you will experience and enjoy to a higher degree what happened in baptism your whole life. It is a divine fact. Many things happen, and you will benefit from that your entire Christian life.
Amen.
But you've got to cut that cord.
Right.
You've got to make that step.
Amen.
Be saved and baptized. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go on. Roman numeral 3. Go.
We should confess the Lord immediately after our salvation.
Romans 10.
For with the heart there is believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth there is confession unto salvation.
Okay. You need to do two things. Actually, three things. When you get home, first thing is, you need to find out, when can I be baptized? When can I be baptized? And for most of you, it will happen a week from today. A week from today. In front of all the saints in your locality.
Amen.
Second thing you need to do, and it's very important, is you need to begin to confess the Lord before men.
Amen.
The Christian life is a life of confessing. Welcome to a life of confessing.
Amen.
We are confessing all the time. We're confessing our sins. Never stop confessing your sins. And begin immediately confessing your sins. When you believe in the Lord, at that time you believed in the Lord, all of your sins from that point previously, all of them were washed away. Now from this point onward, we need to confess every sin for it to be cleansed and washed away. Otherwise, it will stay on our account. We need to confess. We need to start immediately and continue it. We also need another kind of confession, which needs to start immediately and continue for our whole life. This kind of confession is to confess the Lord before men. This is just like when a baby is born, they need to start crying right away. They need to get vocal. They need to say something. When my firstborn was born, the delivery was a little bit complicated. At one point, her heartbeat got all the way down to 6 beats a minute. And I was not comfortable with that. So, praise the Lord, it went back up again, and then it went down. And anyway, it was a roller coaster. And so finally, Sarah Felicia came out of mommy. And you know what I was waiting for? I was so happy to see her. She was born. But I was waiting to hear something. Something that I eventually would hear a lot of in the next months and years. But I wanted to hear that first cry. It started a little bit weak, I remember. She was turning blue, which means oxygen is not getting in. And then she went, and I just, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I have a noisy baby. And when she began to cry and be vocal, her blue turned into a beautiful pink, and everything was okay. You guys were just delivered. Amen. You're just, the umbilical cord may still be attached. You're brand new. Amen. We want to hear you cry. Amen. Don't wait. Amen. It's not healthy to wait. Amen. Right away, let it out. Amen. I'm a Christian. Let's all say that. I'm a Christian. When you go back to school tomorrow, you all have homework over the weekend. I'm assigning you homework. I can because I used to be a teacher also. So I'm assigning you homework. Your homework for Monday is to tell your friends, I'm a Christian. The earlier you do this, the better you will be. The longer you wait, the harder it will be. What will happen is this. If you put this off, if you do not confess the Lord's name to your friend, we're not saying preach the gospel, give them a sermon from Genesis to Revelation. Right? We're just saying let them know. Put the signboard up. I am a Christian. Amen. If you don't do that, your friends will not know. You do not have a halo around your head. When you walk to school, there won't be a glow that lets your friends know. They will not know unless you confess the Lord to them. And if they do not know you're a Christian, they will think, and this is most terrible, they will think that you are an unbeliever. Because that's the default. And they will think you are just like them. And you're not. You're not like them anymore. No more. You are a Christian. Let them know. If you let them know, there will be terrible things that they will want to do, but not with you. Their friends will get together and do things that are harmful physically and even to their soul. They will want to do things against God, but they'll know he's a Christian. That's right. Don't invite him. Don't invite him. You say, oh, I want to be invited. No, you don't want to be invited to those things. No. You really don't want to be invited to those things. Quick story. I went to my friend's house one time while I was in high school. They all knew I was a Christian. They were clear about that. I walked in there, and there was Martinelli's sparkling apple cider. You know what this is? It looks just like champagne. The whole thing. It's got a cork and it looks just like champagne. And one of these guys held it up and said, hey, we got champagne in the meeting. Not the meeting. We got champagne tonight. And I said, I told my mom, if there was any alcohol here, I would leave. And so I turned around and I walked. I began to walk out that door and they laughed. No, sorry. This one guy who was saying, hey, he laughed. He said, oh, you're such a square. Oh, do you even know what that means, square? It means you're not cool. Oh, you Christian. Oh, you. But then I noticed something. He was the only guy laughing. All my other friends were not laughing. They respected such a stand right away. Your friends will be involved with things that you don't want them to invite you to. You need to put that signboard out as soon as you can. The longer you wait, the harder it becomes. Don't live a false life. Let them know who you are. You're a Christian. Okay? Let's read. Did we read Acts 9 yet? No. Okay, let's read Acts 9. Go.
And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, that this one is the Son of God.
I like that word, immediately. This is the Apostle Paul. After he got saved, he immediately proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue. Okay, next point. Go. Hey, as soon as we believe in the Lord, we should confess the Lord before men. Go home, let your family know, and let all your friends know, I'm a Christian. Next point. B.
The Bible strongly stresses need to confess with the mouth in addition to believing in the heart.
To confess with the mouth in Romans 10:10 is towards man. To believe with the heart is toward God. But we need that confession toward men. Okay? Next point. If we do not confess with our mouth, we are a Christian secretly,
much more difficulty than those who are Christians openly. Our temptation will be many times greater than the temptation of those who openly confess the Lord.
For your own sake, confess as soon as you can. Otherwise, your friends just won't know. And they'll speak in a certain way around you. And you will be offended by what they say. They'll use the precious name of the Lord in a vain way. And they won't know it bothers you because you're not saying anything. And the more time that goes by, the more influence you will receive. And the harder the situation will be. It is just best right away to confess. Okay, next point. Let's read Matthew 10.
Everyone, therefore, who will confess in me before men, I also will confess in him before my
rulers who believed in the Lord. They believed in the Lord, but they didn't confess. And why didn't they confess him before men? Because they were afraid. If they confessed the Lord's name, they would be put out of the synagogue, which at that time was a very political and influential place. It was supposed to be a place for the Lord, but it was a place with a bad influence. But if you were in that, you were somebody. You were somebody. This could be like today, our group, perhaps, of friends. These ones did not confess the Lord because they were afraid of losing their friends. They were afraid of being put out of the group of friends that they wanted to be in with. The thing is, this group of friends are the same ones that arrested unrighteously, beat unjustly, and crucified cruelly the Lord Jesus. Who cares about that group of friends? If you're in a group of friends that will put you out because you told them you're a Christian, listen, you need to be put out of that group of friends. Right? That is not the crowd you want to run with. Do not be afraid of being put out of that kind of group. And don't hide, shrink back from confessing the Lord's name because it's not, you think it's not cool. Caring only for the glory of men. There's a lot to say here, but we have to continue on. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. One day, even the hardest one at your school may know, I am having a hard time, and now I know who I can go to. Amen. This one knows Christ. This one. Okay, let's continue on. What verse are we on? Romans 4. Okay, go.
Living in the kingdom of God, the church life.
Okay, first, you know, it's quite impressive the contrast here. The rulers were afraid to confess the Lord's name in the synagogue, right? They were chicken. They were ashamed. But Paul, remember, in Acts 9, the first place he went immediately was the synagogue. He went to his group of friends right away. He knew the first ones that need to know I'm a Christian is my friends. Let them know, brothers. Let them know, sisters. It's the best way to go. Okay. Living in the kingdom of God, the church life. This is altogether wonderful. Point A, go.
The church life is carried out practically in the whole community.
The most important thing today is to have our own group meeting,
which can be considered as our own assembly.
Hebrews. Not abandoning our own assembly together, as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day drawing near.
B, go.
We need to find companions in the church life that will help us read the Bible, pray, and come to the meetings.
2 Timothy 2.
But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Okay, so the first thing we need is to get baptized.
Right.
Second thing we need to do immediately, confess the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I am a Christian.
Amen.
Third thing we need to do is to find a home meeting.
Amen.
Let your parents know, Mom, Dad, I'm a Christian. I'm not only your son and your daughter, I am now your brother.
Amen.
or your sister. Amen. Go to your father and say, "Brother." Amen. Go to your mom and say, "Sister." That's right. Still call them mom and dad, right? But that's right. You are just as much a brother as your dad is, and a sister as your mom is.
Amen.
And that means that their home meeting is just as much your home meeting than it is there. Go to that. Amen. The fish need water. Amen. The birds need air. And young people need the home meetings.
Amen.
Don't rely on the young people's meetings for everything. That is only at best 20% of what you need. 80% of your oxygen intake comes from the home meetings.
Amen.
Don't miss out on that.
Amen.
Claim it.
Yes.
Sit there.
Amen.
Pray. Exercise.
Amen.
I prophesy something. I'll let you know what is going to happen in the near future. You watch. All over the Lord's recovery, young people will begin to infiltrate home meetings.
Amen.
This is going to happen. It's already happening. Those young people are not going to be bumps on the log.
Amen.
Those young people are not going to be bystanders, audiences. Those young people are, you young people are going to become the most vital part of those meetings.
Amen.
The best ones to bear fruit are the new branches.
Amen.
That's you. You're the newest branch in your locality.
Amen.
Your home group needs you.
Amen.
They need you. What's your name, brother? Joshua. You need to be a real Joshua and go in first.
Amen.
To the home meetings. It's not just for your parents anymore. The gates are open wide. You need those home meetings, and those home meetings need you. So, whether it's Friday night, Saturday night, Wednesday night, whatever night it is, that's for you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So we get baptized. Amen?
Amen?
Confess His name before men. Amen? And get into those home meetings. Amen?
Amen.
Now look, your parents may not know what to do with you. The saints in those meetings may not know how to have a young person in a home meeting. Cut them some slack. All right? Help them out a little bit. They're going to be scared. I know. Some saints have come up to me and said, "Brother Peter, young people are coming to my home meetings. What do we do?" Give them a hug, you know. It's okay. It's okay. It'll be all right. You just got to work it out. But don't give up.
Amen.
That is your home meeting.
Amen.
You need that, and they'll find out. They need that.
Amen.
They need that. Okay, I've got to stop here. I already went over my time. So praise the Lord for this weekend.
Amen.
So glad we all got transferred out. We all believed in the Lord. And now we're all going to go back down the mountain with the clear way to go on. We're going to get baptized.
Amen.
We're going to confess to our friends.
Amen.
And we're going to live the majority of our Christian life in the home meetings.